So we're going to have Dr. Dennis Edwards to come on up. Those of you who were not here last night, Dennis Edwards comes to us from Chicago. He is the Dean of North Park Theological Seminary. And we were just so blessed to hear you share the word last night. So we welcome you again. I'm looking forward to you sharing with us tonight.
Thank you. Thank you so much. It really is a pleasure to be with you all. And I have so much enjoyed my time here in Chicago. Susan and I are honored to be with you all. I'm gonna try to take myself. Alright. You just wave. 1, 2, 3. Thank you. And the potluck, oh my goodness. That was wonderful. I tried some things that I didn't know what they were. Some things I didn't know what they were that I did, and I still tried them. So thank you. Thank you. I won't be long because we want to enjoy some of the time for praise and worship in song. We're going to hear from some of you later. So I won't be very long, but I did want to share a few things with you and some things that have been on my heart as I've had this privilege of being with you for a couple of days now. I want to read a passage of scripture that comes from a letter written by the Apostle Peter. You heard of Peter, right? The one who would speak up a lot when he was with Jesus, and the one that we look at as helping to get the church started in the very beginning. So I'm going to read a few verses. I don't have them up on the screen, but this is coming from his letter called 1 Peter, and it'll be chapter 5. I'll read a few verses from that, and then we'll get into our topic. 1 Peter chapter 5, starting at verse 1. To the elders among you, I appeal as a fellow elder and a witness of Christ's sufferings, who also will share in the glory to be revealed. Be shepherds of God's flock that is under your care, watching over them, not because you must, but because you are willing, as God wants you to be, not pursuing dishonest gain, but eager to serve. Not lording it over those entrusted to you, but being examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the crown of glory that will never fade away. In the same way, you who are younger, submit yourselves to your elders. All of you, clothe yourselves with humility toward one another, because God opposes the proud but shows favor to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under God's mighty hand, that he may lift you up in due time. Cast all your anxiety on him, because he cares for you. Lord, we give you thanks for your holy word, and I pray that you would help me to communicate faithfully from your word this evening in a way that would be helpful for all of us. Holy Spirit, guide us now, we pray, in the name of Jesus. Amen. So Peter writes this letter to people who are having a hard time in their world. It's an ancient time under the Roman Empire, and these Christians are starting to get together, and some people are coming to find faith in the Lord Jesus. They didn't grow up with that faith. They came to follow the Lord Jesus, which meant they were going to stop living the way that they used to live. So they started making different decisions. They started not having the same kind of activities that their neighbors did. They were living for Jesus now, which meant that their neighbors didn't like it. People that they used to hang out with, they weren't hanging out with the same way anymore. They weren't having the wild parties. They weren't doing some of those things that Peter talks about in chapter 4. So they started to say unkind things about them, started to push them to the side. They started, as Peter would say, you got slandered because you were following Jesus. And at the same time, the government was giving them grief. The government was very casual about treating Christians harshly. It wasn't a full-blown persecution, but they would just grab some Christians to figure out what they were doing. Would they be subversive? Were they trying to overthrow the government? They would give people a hard time. So Peter is writing to people who were struggling. They were suffering. And he writes the whole letter, but I'm not going to talk about the whole letter. I just want to get here to the end of it, because chapter 5 is the last chapter. And when he comes to them, he says, look, I want to appeal to you as a fellow elder and a witness of Christ's suffering. And this is kind of interesting to me because Peter, we know him from the Gospels, he could have said, look, I'm Peter. I'm the one who walked on water. I'm the one Jesus called Rock. And he could have said a lot of things about himself that would have made himself look pretty important. But instead, he says, I saw him suffer. And I'm an elder too. This is now old man Peter. Now when I read this, I appreciate it. And it actually made me think of you all. Because since I've been here a couple of days and saw how the respect that you have for your elders, I said, I like this. And it made me think of the way this ancient culture was respecting their elders too. And Peter says, look, I'm a fellow elder and I want to speak to you. Like now, here I am getting up in years. And when I read this as a young man, I probably would have ran over that part real fast. Now that I'm getting up there myself, I say, as a fellow elder, because I got to get on the food line with some of you earlier, I can relate to him now. And he says, look, I saw him suffer. And he says this to people who are also suffering. He says, you have a Savior who knows what it's like to go through hard times. You have a Savior who didn't even have a house to sleep in. You have a Savior who had no money. You had a Savior who people didn't respect and didn't understand. You have a Savior who knows what it's like to go through hard times, who knows what it's like to suffer. And he says, your Savior suffered. I saw it. But I also know that there's glory that's going to come one day. He says, but right now, you elders, and look, sometimes, this is my Christian friends in certain circles. They, when they read that word elder, they think right away, pastor. They think he's just talking about the pastor. No, he could have said pastors. He says elders. So even you all, and I've been hearing this in the testimony these 2 days, like the Jacksons here, that you are people who have been leading in the church, even if you didn't have the title pastor. You've been people who have been setting an example for God's people, even if you didn't have that title. Some of you were doing ministry when the church didn't have a pastor.
Yes.
You're the people that he was talking about. He says, be shepherds. That's the pastor part. You don't even have to have a title. But as people have been walking this journey, be shepherds. Keep caring for God's people. He says, watch over them. Not because you have to, but because you're willing. You don't do it for money. Amen. You know, we're not doing it for the money. He says, but because you're eager to serve. And you don't lord it over people, he says. Because God has entrusted people to you. He says, be examples to the flock. Show them the way. And I'm going to say this very sincerely, because we're living in a time, at least, I don't know what it's like up in Alaska. It's my first time in Western Alaska. I told some folks last night I came here as a tourist in 2007, because we got a chance to see Alaska. I always wanted to see Alaska. So we did the touristy things. We came into Anchorage, went up to Prudhoe Bay. Then we came down to Seward and got the cruise. So we did the touristy thing. And I remember talking to Brother Curtis and saying, and Brother TJ was up there, that I want to get back to Alaska one day. And Curtis said, we can make it happen. And he made it happen. So, but he said, it's going to be a different kind of experience than you had before, and it sure has been. But as I come here and have this experience, I'm seeing people who care for God's people. So I know I'm saying it over and over again, but I wanted to sink in that Peter is talking about you, folks who have been walking the journey. In our culture at times, at least down in the lower 48, I see it, older folks are seen as an inconvenience. Like we don't have anything else to give. And like we did what we had to do, get out of the way and let the young folks do it. And Peter says, no. He says, I'm a fellow elder. You elders have something to do. You still have life to share. You still have words to give. You still have an example to set. You still have a light to shine for all of us. And I want to say thank you for being those kind of folks who are showing an example he has more to say, and I'm not going to keep on talking all night long. But then he shifts, and he says, in the same way, you who are younger, submit yourselves to your elders. Now, when he's talking about the shepherding, before I get to the younger folks, I do want to say a little bit about shepherding. It kind of makes me think about Peter. And Pastor Brian had said this, I think, yesterday when he was talking about it, that remember that there's this walk on the beach that Jesus has with Peter after Jesus is risen from the dead? And they all went back to fishing. You remember that story? It's at the end of John's Gospel. So they're back to fishing, trying to figure out what they're going to do next. And Jesus shows up, and he's there cooking fish on the shore. And Peter realizes it's the Lord, jumps into the water, swims to the shore, and he has this conversation. And Jesus pulls him to the side, and he has a little walk with Peter, and he says, do you love me more than these? And I don't think he's talking about the other disciples. I think he's talking about the nets and all the fish that they caught. Do you love me more than your old life? Do you love me more than the things that you used to do? If you love me more than this, feed my sheep. Shepherd the flock. Care for my lambs. 3 times he asked him, do you love me? Do you love me? Do you love me? And Peter gets agitated and he's hurting his heart. He asked him 3 times. Why? He denied the Lord 3 times. 3 times. And here's another 3. You love me? You love me? You love me? Shepherd my people. Now we got old man Peter, an elder. And he's telling fellow elders, shepherd the people. The lesson that he learned. And now when he comes to the younger folks, he says, now you come to the younger folks, I want you to submit yourselves to the elders. Submit. We don't like that word a lot. But the idea is to pay attention and to be able to receive the instruction that you get from those who have gone on before. I have this privilege now being dean at the seminary, and I find sometimes, I didn't think I'd find it, but I sometimes find younger people who are looking for older people who will be a mentor for them, to guide them, to show them the way, because this way of ministry can be tricky. The way of life can be tricky. Just trying to make good decisions in the world. And here's part of the formula. Watch the folks who have done it already and learn from them. What's it going to take? He says, look, all of you, old folks, young folks, I want you to clothe yourselves with humility because God opposes the proud and gives grace to the humble. Clothe yourselves. Some of you heard me share this before because I wrote a commentary in the book of 1 Peter, and I find this part just so remarkable, that this one word here, clothe, in the Greek language that this New Testament was written in, the word only shows up right here, one time. And it's a word for an apron, that he turns into a verb. He takes the noun for an apron. And it's a particular apron. It's the kind of apron that a slave would put on to do menial work. So he turns that into a verb, and he basically says, apron yourselves with humility. Wrap yourself around with humility. I can't help but to think of another Peter experience. Also in John's Gospel. Where on that night where our Lord was betrayed, he's having a meal with his disciples, and you know the story. He gets up from the table, wraps a towel around himself, and washes his disciples' feet, and teaches them that night how they ought to love one another. The call for us to be humble servants of the Lord, older and younger. He says, because God opposes the proud and shows favor to the humble, so humble yourselves, therefore. As a younger person, I went to church and didn't understand much of what was happening, what was going on around me. And I went to a little church in New York City. I am from New York and grew up in the city. I'm used to the subway and skyscrapers and the bus and moving around like that. I'm not used to eating moose, but it's a different world. But at the same time, I went to church, and church was all day. We were in Sunday school for an hour and a half. We had morning worship for 3 hours. We came back for the afternoon for 2 hours. Then know, it's evening service that went till people would go home. And if the sun was up as long as it is here, that service would have went even longer. So all of that would happen. And then one afternoon, I was asked to play my saxophone. I played my saxophone. I was about 13 years old. And the preacher was preaching. And something hit me at the time. I thought, you know, I've been coming to church for a few years now. And I want what I think other people have, which is this confidence that God loves them and cares for them. And I had all kinds of fears inside about how to show that, because the church I grew up in, you had to actually get up out of your seat and walk forward. I was a shy kid. I didn't want to do that. But I want to say here, when Peter says, humble yourselves under God's mighty hand that he may lift you up in due time, that I want to extend that to mean that it's not just about the service that I do, but it's about the whole attitude that I have before God. Even in giving my life to him. What I'm saying is, if you don't know the Lord Jesus in this way that I'm talking about, a way of a relationship where he walks with us and talks with us and helps me understand how to maneuver through life, if you're not confident in that, then I'm encouraging you to humble yourself even right now and depend on the Lord Jesus in a way maybe that you never did before. I'm asking you to consider, what does it mean to follow Jesus? Maybe you've never thought about that before. You haven't thought deeply about what does it mean to follow Jesus with my whole life. I want to encourage you tonight that you can follow Jesus. Take the example of those elders who've been walking that way. That even though, and Sister Betty said it, even though life can be hard, life is hard, life will be hard, that we have this hope that Peter talks about, a glory that will one day be revealed. We have that hope. And I want to encourage you that if you don't have that hope deep inside, you can have it tonight. You can start tonight. You can learn about it tonight. And it can grow in you when you submit yourself to the Lord Jesus. What do I mean by that? I mean trusting the Lord Jesus in a way that says, Lord, I'm going to follow you with my whole life. I'm going to understand what it means to walk as a disciple like Peter and like the elders that I see here. There's a lot more I can say from this passage, but I want to end by extending an invitation for us to talk to the Lord tonight and for you to consider perhaps this is a night where you have said, you know, I want to humble myself. And I know the fears. And he says, don't worry about it. Very next verse. Put all your cares on him. Because he cares for you. I know what fears might be to let go and say, Lord Jesus, my life is in your hands. And he says, that's exactly what I want you to do. Put your life in my hands. Because I care for you. Let's take a moment. Perhaps you can close your eyes and reflect for a moment and consider what would it mean for me to say deep in my heart that I believe that Jesus died on the cross, that he rose again from the dead, and that when I place my faith in him, I can know that he cares for me. I will be with him forever, even after I die. Perhaps you're willing to pray. Something as simple as, Lord Jesus, I do believe that you lived, you died, you rose again from the dead. And by trusting in you, my life can different. I can have hope, and I can look forward to a glory that will be revealed one day. And right now, in this world, I can have a life with meaning and purpose and find help when I'm in a time of need. But you will be with me all the time. Thank you, Lord. My friends, if you prayed something like that, or if you thought some things like that, I'm going to encourage you to tell somebody tonight that you were thinking about these things and you were praying when I gave you this invitation. I know Pastor Brian, others would be happy to hear from you if you thought something like that and said, you know, I've been kind of wrestling with some of the things Dennis said, and I was thinking about some of the things that he was praying about, and I was talking to Jesus tonight, and I'd like to know some more. Please tell somebody tonight before you go. When Peter says, all of you clothe yourselves with humility, he gives us now a formula for how we can go forward as the people of God. There are a lot of things we disagree with, a lot of challenges that we're going to face. But the formula is that if we humble ourselves, listen to what the Lord says, follow the example of those who have gone before us, our elders, that we can have a life with meaning and purpose, and be the kind of people that would be the witnesses we talked about in Acts 1:8. We will show the world what Jesus is like by the way that we live. Amen.